We'll call the May 9th, May 3rd. I'm getting ahead of myself. May 3rd meeting to order for Human Services, Health and Education.
You want me to do the
phone? Yes, would you, Hilda?
You have a cue card?
Yeah.
Did you practice?
United States of America. It's your republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have approval of the meeting minutes from April 5th.
Motion, Mullins. Second, Hannah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Oh, good morning, is Lynn.
Good morning. As noted in a previous session, we had received state funding to provide veterans peer services in Steuben County. So following that, we did issue an RFP to solicit proposals to run the peer services in the county. We received only one referral, but it does seem to be from an agency that has a lot of experience in providing these services and are well-equipped to do so. So it's Veterans One Stop Center of Western New York submitted a proposal to provide these services. This program brings veterans, service members, and families together through social activities and community services to help ease the transition from military life to civilian life. Their proposal would be to hire a full-time peer along with a vehicle and administrative support services from them to be located here in Steuben County in our Veterans Services Department. And that person would engage with the community and the local agencies to discover where the need is and then to enlist referrals and link that peer with the veterans to provide them with the support and to link them with the services they need to transition them. They already provide these services. One Stop provides these services already in Erie, Niagara, Livingston, and Yates counties. And they also help provide these services already in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus. So they have a lot of experience doing this. It seemed to be a good proposal. I would propose that we accept this and proposal to provide the service. It's a cost of $100,000 for the first year. They did submit a proposal for $500,000 over 5 years, but I recommend that we would accept a proposal and entered into it on a one-year contract with a renewal option contingent on receiving additional funding the following years, because we just received 1 year's worth of funding at this time.
Yeah, exactly. So, and thank you. Because this is grant funded, having the option to renew is good. This line of funding, it seems like, will remain intact throughout the budgets, because it's a, you know, very important program. It's not a ton of money in the overall scheme of the state budget. They seem to have a lot of willingness to keep that. But again, because there's an unknown, don't want to commit to 5 years based upon grant funding that we aren't 100% sure that we're going to get. But if we have the option to renew, we'd know whether that funding was available for the next fiscal year before the renewal was brought back to you.
Do these people go into jails and prisons and meet with veterans?
I think they probably... This is Gary Smith.
I am. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the Director of Veteran Services for the county here. And thank you. So the program can be tailored to, when the state gave out the funding, they didn't give a lot of specific guidance of how we had to develop our program. So our program can be developed in the way we need it to be in our area for our veterans. So if it's our big needs we find are to go into the jail and help out people in the jail, it could be that. But the main goal of it is to be a non-clinical type support, because they don't want to put, they feel veterans when they go out there can find a stigma against going into mental health sometimes right away without some support systems from people that do things like they do. A lot of people, like as a veteran, me and myself included, sometimes, I got 2 combat tours to Iraq, and sometimes you want to talk to people that understand where you're coming from and have been through shared experiences with yourself. It's kind of like when you go home and talk to your wife about this law and this reference number that the state does for this, and you give her a number and she looks, are your significant other? And they say, I don't understand what you're saying. You know, it's the kind of the same thing. So they want to talk, sometimes talk to people, and through that, we can share our experiences and how to get help with them. So it could be into the jail.
Thank you.
Couple questions. So that $100,000, does that include the vehicle and the person, the full-time person?
So that includes the full-time person for them to get out into the community to work with different community partners, establish relationships, even to run a small group organization, meetings or sessions to help get veterans in together. So they like to do small sessions so that, and some counties do a coffee hour, copying cards is one thing that Yates County is doing right now to get veterans to come in a kind of a non-threatening environment to start to open up with each other and to reach them to, and they want to do it at no cost. So they use this funding to provide these facilitate programs for them that are barrier free. At that point,
so yeah, the budget they submitted seems to include the car, traveling expensive, administrative costs, all the equipment, and these the activities, fees for the activities, and and the fair.
If I read it right, you have it would be referrals to other organizations like mental health or any addiction services, things like that.
Right. They use that to build. They use that, and they work in correspondence with local suicide prevention programs, mental health, and get them to the services that they need.
Good.
Kelly?
I just wanted to say that I am a fiduciary for several local veterans, and a lot of times any one of them that need help definitely slip through the cracks. And I have a gentleman in particular that I have called my field examiner. I have called the hub in Indianapolis. I have called the local VA. And there's just certain things that they just cannot seem to do, or they don't think that maybe he's as much of a threat to himself than I do. And so I think the services are desperately needed. And I think it would be nice to have someone that maybe they view as a peer and would allow them to help.
Any other questions?
I just had a little more question on it. Just a little more specific on, and maybe there was something that I didn't see, but like when it would start, what you have planned for sort of, you know, any concrete programs or a person who would be doing this, just some, and then following up on that. Well, I'll just leave it there for now. Let you.
So, pending your approval and we do enter into a contract with them, that's when we would go into the process of hiring someone, because at this point they've put it out with what we want, what we're looking to hire. First and foremost, they would like to hire someone, a veteran or someone that's strongly related to or well-versed in the veteran community as a peer. It's a lot of it's going to be dependent on exactly how quickly things get up, is how quickly we can fill, they can fill that position in our area.
And so, yeah, I was just going to say that I'm supportive of the general idea, but we're talking about $100,000, and is there a document or anything that you have that explains how this will look or anything that we could review?
Yeah. So, and apologies, I should have asked them to, that's my fault. I should have asked them to send that prior. We could certainly be, and this has to go to the full board. So we could send you the actual proposal, because they submitted a proposal back. Essentially, the long and short of it for the question is they would hire the individual with, especially Gary and Lynn's input, sort of vetting, but that's going to be not our employee. It'd be the, obviously it's a contractor, it'd be an employee of this organization that proposed. And then it's all about meeting the veterans where they're at and doing that outreach. But certainly what we can do is we can send you the RFP response that they submitted for your review.
Yeah. The idea was that once they hire the peer administratively with them and the peer, they would engage with the local community, you know, the local agencies and other providers already in the community to figure out and ascertain like where the need is and to get referrals and how they would enlist referrals to then connect with these veterans to provide the.
So could you, when you give us the proposal, could you give us the example of what it looks like in the other counties, probably with the same, are the other counties around 100,000? I know you said some of them were higher, but.
So most of the counties, so last year when the state decided they wanted to fund every county, the starting line was about 100,000 there. Some of the counties, Erie County, Suffolk County, with that are more established programs and with a bigger population, are getting more money at this point. But
sort of formula,
yeah,
not formula, population based. So what I've seen is counties our size would get 100. I think 100 was a minimum, was the minimum across the state, and then based on population, some of the more populous counties would get more. So they would essentially, instead of one individual to contract for, one service to contract for, they could do multiple since a bigger county.
Okay. But yeah, but what I'm wondering about is just practically for those counties that have already started it, what their program,
what they have
looked
done
like with this company.
We could definitely get that
for that. And we could send it around with the proposal.
Yeah, we can definitely get that.
Okay.
So he sent out an email last night at 5:28 with three attachments that basically explain everything about this.
Well, I did not see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apologies for it. That was my fault. I didn't catch it to send it out early. So we'll make sure that you folks get all of that.
I'll make a motion, Karen.
I'll second this.
Any questions, Hilda?
Carrie, will this person report to you?
Yeah, well, they'll be under our oversight. So we kind of purview of how they run how we want them to run the program, what we want them to do, what their position looks like.
John?
So is there a projection as to the numbers of veterans that would be served under this program?
I don't know at this time. I'd have to get back to you. But from what I've heard in Livingston Yates counties, because I talked to them a little bit more about their programs, that they started about 6 months ago, and they tend to see about 30 veterans to an event right now. So some events are smaller because of the types of events that they run, but when they're out there and they're getting into these social events with them. So,
another
question.
Well, I'm just going to mention that I'm going to vote against it, but it's not because I think it's a bad idea, but I don't understand it well enough or the spend well enough to feel like I'm making a good vote. So I'll probably end up voting for it at the full board when I've reviewed the information that came out last night. But
any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Darlene.
Good morning. Just one quick item this morning, seeking your approval to enter into a new preschool contract for speech pathologist April McGonigal, and she lives in Linwood.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much.
Jay?
Yeah, so and apologies for it not being formally on the agenda, but just a discussion point for you folks to ponder, not necessarily requesting action today unless it's something that you would like us to, but the opioid settlement funds that we have received both, and you know, we've allocated in the neighborhood of $500,000-$600,000 for the direct settlements that we have received from the manufacturers, distributors. You folks have already taken those actions. As you know, we also received last month, you folks allowed acceptance and submission of a draft plan of the state's portion that has to be allocated to counties. So we have, you know, minimum another $600,000 for this. And again, it gets weird because of the state's budget year in comparison to ours. But for all intents and purposes, let's call it 2023 funds. You have about another $600,000 to structure away with these additional funds, what we would recommend, and we kind of teed it up last month, is staff with your direction developing an RFP to put out for service providers or agencies to be able to propose different things to address the opioid crisis. Generally, and certainly, you know, when we draft an RFP, if that's something that you folks authorize, we can certainly share it with you and those sort of things. But generally, the three main buckets that are allowable funds, both under the state's funding and then the funding that we received, is for prevention, treatment, recovery. Now, those are very global and big buckets. So a lot of things can fall under prevention. A lot of things can also fall under treatment and recovery. What we'd like to be able to do for so that you folks have a wide range of options to consider, what we'd like to do is at some point when you're comfortable, issue an RFP, get responses back, and then you folks have the ability to consider which programs you'd like to fund. And we could start, you know, more formally structuring that, I would say. Just seems like a, you know, we've the way that it's been done, I don't think in my opinion was bad or was wrong. You made some very good investments, in my opinion, in agencies, but we did it because our funding came in kind of scattershot. We'd get some, and then we get a little more, and then we get a little more. Since we have a better idea, especially of what we're getting from the state, to me, it seems like an RFP would be the way to go. So that way you have at one time agencies proposing, and then you can make that cost benefit analysis based upon the amount of funding that you have of what services you want to allocate funding to.
Hilda?
No, I'm going to say something, but so isn't that putting the cart before the horse? Because before we start asking for people to provide a service, we don't know what we want, what we need, what we should be doing. And what I mentioned before was if we could do a plan of some sort, whether it's like the EMS plan, I don't care how, but we need to sit down and say, what does it look like? What do we need? What's the money coming? Because there's a lot of money coming in. We already know that. We already have some and we have more, and it's sustainable over a number of years. Just asking people to provide a service, we don't really know what is needed.
No, it's a very good point. What you could also do is, you know, and we talked about it being almost like you did with EMS, have a special meeting of your of this committee, or and extend the length of it, you know, switch it with AIP so that it can run a little longer, and invite, you know, certainly we could work with Lynn and staff, and then invite other service providers, other community stakeholders, to provide their feedback on where those gaps are. I agree with you. You know, there's areas where certainly additional information could definitely be beneficial. I think with an RFP, you get a good sense as well of, because it'd be the community, it'd be the providers who would be proposing, and theoretically they would be proposing to fill in those gaps that exist currently. But again, you might not be able to then analyze, you know, with the information on the front end. So could handle it a few different ways. If you would like, we could certainly whenever you'd like to have a next meeting, you know, you could do it at the end of this month. If you'd like to have a special session after the legislative meeting or something, we could invite those, you know, stakeholders to provide their input into where the gaps are. I think we've heard some of it from between Dr. Chapman, Lynn, Casa Trinity, some of the others, but certainly we could absolutely do that.
I mean, there's still like law enforcement, public health, there's a number of different people involved, the providers mm-hmm. that know what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the situation is. I can guess what the situation is, but until we hear like the DA or the sheriff tell us what's really going on, what they think we need, what Darlene thinks we need, or whatever, I think that's to me more important right now before we put that RFP.
Well, I kind of think that it makes sense for us to be planning, but there could also be people with other good ideas that if we, you know, make a round hole and they've got a square peg for it, then, you know, we might be missing out on something as well. And we might be missing out on some of the creativity of people or outside agencies, you know, putting
RFP is a bad idea. I just think we need to do some work first before we start saying we want an RFP to do such and such when we don't really know what we want to do.
So like the EMS study, the EMS work, it almost seems like it would be good to have a study done. And I hate the word consultant, but look at what services are out there now. Look at the problems that are out there now and come up with a suggested list of solutions to address those problems.
So one of the things, and I think there's a number of ways that we could do it. I think maybe for the end of the month, it would be too compressed a time frame, but you do have a community services board, which has subcommittees, which handle a lot of these issues. Right. They have a lot of these discussions of where do we see gaps, because they are largely, there are a number of folks with lived experiences who are part of those committees, but we largely they are, you know, our partner agencies. So that's something that you folks could actually get, I think, a tremendous amount of feedback from the Community Services Board and their subcommittees back to you about where those are. I think that would be instead of necessarily looking for like a consultant or something, I think you have those.
Oh, they would.
You have the subject matter experts.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I like that point. That,
so what were you thinking as far as RFP? You were just going to let outside agencies propose how to spend the money?
Yeah, so again, it's a very good point about, you know, the cart before the horse and those sort of things is, you know, what information would you folks like as decision makers heading into that? But I think the RFP broadly structured, I think broadly structured is a key, not that you want to consider everything under the sun. You folks certainly have to have your priority areas where you want to invest in. But I think if under the buckets of prevention, treatment, recovery, that's where, you know, we avoid kind of the square peg round hole situation where we'll be able to evaluate. The other thing that you could do, because your community services board is an advisory board, when you get to a point, if you do this, if you do an RFP, you could have them review it as well and mark up and rank their, you know, priorities or something like that,
right,
as well.
Kelly, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. First, I believe that we know that there is a problem. I don't think that we understand or have enough information to understand the full extent of the problem. I've asked for additional information regarding the opioid situations and the overdoses, and I'm getting a bit stonewalled on that because of concerns of people trying to identify who they are or what. I think that, especially after having that expert speak to us at last month's meeting, they understand the demographic data. They're hitting that demographics with certain services. We have no idea in our county who's overdosing, what age group, what reason, where they're at. And we have taken, as Jack said, $500,000 to $600,000 of this money, and we've already thrown it at various services, and we're not even hearing back whether or not Casa Trinity or any of these groups are really truly helping the problem within Steuben County. So I know it's very rare, but I agree with Hilda. We need to identify.
Write that down.
We need to identify the problem that we're trying to solve rather than just throwing money at it. We can throw out an RFP. And Casa Trinity can come in here with another proposal for services and get their hands on our money. But we need to say, this is the problem that you need to solve. This is the age group we want to see you working on. We have no idea what that is. We need to identify that first.
So what I would suggest based on your feedback is that we work with Lynn to structure some feedback from the Community Services Board first. To give you ideas of where they, as your, our advisory committees, see the biggest gaps, and or see opportunities for investment, or see what Kelly's talking about, you know, where the problems are, those sort of things, and then come back to you. We can work on whenever that meeting would be, or meetings, to provide that. And then also how, whoever else, in terms of stakeholders you would like to attend.
John.
So is there a time restraint as far as spending this money?
So that's part of the issue for, the short answer is yes. The state funding is the one we're a little more concerned about, because on ours, you folks have already made investments that we can show the good faith effort of investing those funds. The state funding, because last month they gave us 2 weeks to develop a draft plan, which Lynn and Hank did, and, submitted it as a placeholder. That can always be amended and updated because they have to submit them quarterly. The state funding is the one where, I would say if you're in a position within 3 months to make awards, you're probably fine for the state.
Okay. So my other question is that if we send out the RFP and find out what services out there are available, wouldn't that speed up the process?
It would speed up the process, but in my opinion, it's a good point about the informing you folks having the baseline information that you need to make the allocation
decision. Well, I understand that, but if you had the RFP out as to what services would be available, you could then award it based on the findings of this subcommittee or whatever.
You could do them, an RFP broadly structured, you could do them jointly or in concurrence in terms of time frame if you chose.
So I don't want to put words in Lynn's mouth, but we know what services are out there. We know a lot of what's out there already. We know that. But what do we do with it? How do we manage it? That's the problem. We don't, I probably could sit down with Lynn in an hour. We could find out all the services that are out there.
But we need to know the dollar amounts that allocated to those services in order to structure how you're going to spend this money.
And for what, not just how we're going to spend it. We need to know more. We don't have enough information.
So what I'd suggest, if you're okay with it, is we work with Lynn and the Community Services Board to get feedback for you for your next meeting. If you want to, however you want to structure the meeting to give enough time to be able to discuss those things, we could ask, representatives. I don't want to, Cora Saxton, the chair of Community Services Board, is not here, so I don't want to commit her, but she's tremendous and very willing to help out with everything. So maybe she could even, attend to help. And then, I think it's a good point. Then what other stakeholders do you want to hear from prior? We could certainly do that.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff.
I just agree with Hilda and Kelly both as far as the, the police agencies and stuff. I think when you're talking about agencies and stakeholders, your Corning PD, Hornell PD, Bath PD, and some of the sheriff's department and AMR, Hornell Ambulance, those are the people that are actually going to be able to tell you how many ODs there are and what they see, because their feet are on the ground. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is seeing numbers that are generated. And when we had the one person that told us there was 14 or 15 ODs, and, just from talking to, police people that we all know, that's a month, not a year. Maybe they don't pass away, but there's that many ODs. I mean, it's but those are the people that their feet are on the ground that see it every day.
Okay, so is everyone in agreement that we work with the Community Services Board and get some information there, Jack?
We'll come back to the next meeting.
Proposal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone okay with it? All right.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We need an executive session for personnel.
Yes.
Can I just ask one thing before we go to executive session? For the veteran services that we're going to be voting on, I was looking at the emailed information. A lot of it looks like informational on what the grant can do. Yep. And what can be available, but if we could have for the full meeting more specifics on the RFP to us.
Yep.
And I'd also like to see what they've done in other places. I was looking on their website just now and I was trying to find specifically what they've done and wasn't exactly seeing, you know, much examples other than there is a program. So
yeah, we will email you their RFP response and then some of those other details from the other counties.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I'll move for executive session.
Thanks. We're in executive session. Thanks.